When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick Vinzant. Coming up in this episode, free diving and fear.
With the pressure, it's completely different if you are just holding your breath on the surface. The pressure makes something in your body, in your mind, and you don't want to breathe. And it's really enjoyable. This moment when you turn is really important because if you are too stressful with your chest, you can break your lungs easily. This is what I'm following. I like following this vision about this kind of frustration after an attempt of world record. I want to crash the surface and to say to myself, probably I have more.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, subscribe, leave us a rating or a review. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for all of your support. So I want to get right to our first guest. He's a professional free diver and 8-time world record holder, Arnold Girard. Real quick, English is not his native language. And while he really does a great job, we have included a transcription of this interview on our website at profoundlypointless.com. Is this more physical or is this more mental?
I think it's a mental sport. I think it's 80% in mind, free diving, because it's not so natural to enjoy when you are not breathing. I think in the world, you don't have any other sport like that. Yesterday, I was looking at the match of the tennis player Rafael Nadal, and I was saying to myself, of course, he has a lot of pressure, probably it's the end of his career. But it's more the pressure of the people who put in himself. But my pressure is to say, can I have the time to crash the surface at the end?
Yeah, that's a lot of a different pressure, right? Like he's got the pressure of the crowd. You have the pressure of, are you going to make it back up and not die?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Breathing seems quite important for our species. Is your body just screaming at you like, get up there, take a breath? Like, how can you be in the moment when I would only compare it to like cold? When I'm cold, all I can think about is the fact that I'm cold.
That's a good question, because on the way down, I don't feel the urge to breathe. I just feel relaxed, and in the water with the pressure, it's completely different if you are just holding your breath on the surface. The pressure makes something in your body, in your mind, and you don't want to breathe, and it's really enjoyable. But when you are closer to the surface on the way up, around 30 meters, sometimes you hear to breathe. And the natural way is to speed at this moment to join the surface fast. But it's really the biggest mistake you can do because you use too much oxygen to speed at this point. If you use to breathe, you just have to relax. And it's not so natural to relax when the surface is at 3 or 4 meters to you. And you say, okay, I come down, but I will see. I take my time. Is to accept and to accept the pressure, accept the stress of this moment and to live with.
The natural kind of water pressure around you as you're going down, that makes it a little bit easier on your body. Like you don't feel that big need to breathe as much.
Exactly. You have a lot of mechanisms on your body. For example, when your face touches the water, you have an immersion reflex and your heartbeat decrease. Your heartbeat decrease. After a few meters, you have like a blood shift. The pressure is so huge. And if your lungs are squeezed, my lungs are squeezed like a lemon at this depth. But after that, my heartbeat slow down at 15 beats per minute.
15?
15. 1-5, yeah. And you don't feel the air on your lungs. You feel just a liquid here. And you don't feel your heartbeat. But down there, I feel like I have nothing here.
Your body is just slowed down to that point.
But more I go down, more the pressure increase, and less I float. And at this, around 400 feet, the pressure is so huge, and I don't need to swim. I just free fall down there. But when I arrive there on the bottom plate, I need to come up. And to come up is really hard, because if I don't swim, I fall down. And the first 20 meters on the bottom to join the surface is like a nightmare, because I have the line in front of me and you have each meters with a mark, and the meters go really slow, but my legs go so fast.
You have to work so much harder to kind of turn back around.
This moment when you turn is really important, because if you are too stressful with your chest, you can break your lungs easily, and to have lung blood inside. And this is why you need to be really flexible when you do the loop down there, and to slow down on the way up, trying to be fast but to not be stressful.
How did you get into this?
Oh, it started at 7. I was with my dad and in Calanque of Marseille in south of France, and he was doing some spearfishing for fun. And every weekend I was looking at him go in the water and back with some fish. And I say, okay, it's crazy. What happened down there? What is new world? And one day he told me, okay, Arno, come with me. Put on your wetsuit and come with me. And I jump on the water with my mask and I open my eyes in this new world. I was really afraid, because I always remember I was looking back to me to not have a shark or something. But here we don't have this kind of fish. But, you know, when you are 7, you have a big imagination.
Right.
I was following my dad, and he was really happy to show me how to dive, how to equalize my ear, and how to just float in the water. And every weekend I was faced to my fear. And, you know, it was to me more like feeling like Peter Pan flying in the water. And at 16, my dad was saying to me, okay, now you start to dive deeper than me. I learn about this sport. I understand this sport. We can have this all stressful environment, but trying to enjoy this few seconds on the present moment. And after that, I just say to myself, you have to be a professional freediver. But what is it, professional freediver? You know, it's not a proper work. And to me, it was more a secret to find my dream. At 16 years old, you know, you don't know where you go. You don't know how work you want to do. It's really a key moment on the life.
So I know there's kind of lots of different disciplines. So the discipline that you do is primarily what?
My discipline is like biathlon. In my sport, you have four disciplines. You have biathlon, like when you are going in the water with two fins. You have monofin. It's like a whale or a dolphin. You can go really deep because you have a lot of power. After, you have no fin. It's without fin. It's just like that. It's really hard. And after, you have free immersion. You just grab the line. Me, I do biathlon. I made 8 world record this last 5 years with my team. And I think more than meters, I really gain experience and I gain maturity to feel more confidence in my life with my family, with my partner, and it's really like a school to me to go in the water.
Of those four different disciplines, are they all kind of looked at equally, or is one more like, no, this is the big one, right? Like, I can only compare it to like track and field, where like, all right, there's lots of different events, but it's the 100 meters at the end of the day.
They are really different because if you compare to monofin and bifin, monofin, the world record is 136 meters, and bifin is 124 meters, like close to 400 feet. And I think there are really respect between these four disciplines because each of them are really tricky. Like in monofin, you can go deeper, but with less effort. But when you are deeper, you have more pressure. And in no fin, you don't have any fin. Yeah, just your body is really hard. Of course, you'll go less deeper. Me, I like bifin because it's more natural to me to dive like that.
Like, how do you essentially know when to turn back?
It's a good question. On the beginning, I was really afraid about it, and I didn't understand when was the point, when was the limit. And after that, it's like going to the Everest, to the Mount Everest. You're not going in one way. You have to adapt your body. And for freediving, it's the same. I start my season in March, and I start with 20 meters and 30, 35, 40. And each month, I increase my depth. Like I have 3 dives per week. It's not a lot. And I increase little by little. And when I close to my world record attempt or my personal best, I try to increase like one meter by one meters. And if my dive time are okay, like a dive is around 3:30 minutes and 4 minutes, the full dive. And if everything is okay, I can try the world record. But if the light green are not green, I try to repeat my dive or to not dive. And this is the way you adjust little by little your limit. And for example, if you crash a surface after a deep dive and you are really okay, you can go deeper. But if you crash the surface and you feel your legs burning or you feel really tired, you really hurt to breathe on the recovering part, I think you need to probably repeat this dive or to go less deeper. And this is how you know if you are close or not to your limit. But sometimes it's tricky. It's tricky because, of course, you are diving on natural elements. Sometimes the water is colder or warmer. When it's warmer, your heartbeats increase a lot. And when it's colder, you use a lot of oxygen to feel warm. And yes, it's really interesting to know when to increase or when to not increase. And the best key on my sport is how to say no, when to say no. And in my sport, I don't have choice. If I don't feel to dive and I dive, I can have a lot of risk.
When you did that 122 meters, looking back on it, could you have gone 123? Could you have gone 124 when you finished it? And you'd be like, oh, I had more in the tank.
This is what I'm following. I like following this vision about this kind of frustration after an attempt of the world record. I want to crash the surface and to say to myself, oh, probably I have more. I have more because this, like really concrete part, not just on my dream or with the color of the star. It's really concrete point. And I like this because it gives me the power to train all the winter without diving on the winter, going to the gym, going to the mountain or training mountain biking, and to say to myself, last year you feel you have something better, you can do something better easily, train for that. But my last 8 world record, I always crash the surface with this smile saying to myself, ah, yeah, you have more, and nothing is better than that.
That's cool. That's a good way to look at it, right? Like, oh, I could have done that. But then how hard do you have to kind of reel it back in? Like, if you know you could do more, Like, if you know you did 122, like, why not go 130? Like, to me, like, from an outsider's perspective, it's like, all right, it doesn't seem like it's that much farther. When you get down to that depth, like, how much farther is 123 than 122?
From 122 to 123 is just 1 meter. It's not so huge, but mentally, it's a huge aspect of the performance because you're trying to go somewhere of nobody go in the past. And you don't know if your body is adapt to this pressure, adapt to this time spending in the water. It's really like going to the space, feeling like an astronaut. And 1 meter is not so huge, but after 3 meters is huge because you do 3 meters and 3 meters on the way up. At the end of the day, it's 6 meters.
Yeah, it's doubled. You gotta forget about that. Like, oh yeah, the coming back up is kind of the important part, right? Like, how far down can you go? Well, you can go all the way down if you want.
Yeah. You can go one way, but no, you don't have the ticket of the way up.
have you ever had an instance in which, like, you didn't make it back? I'm assuming there's, like, rescue teams there that can grab you and things like that. But have you ever had an instance where, like, I went all the way down and I didn't make it back up to the top?
Yeah, my biggest fear was on the beginning of my career, and it was my first world championship. And I remember I was diving and I was free falling, and when I reached the bottom, I was so happy because it was a personal best to me. And when I tried to come up, you know, I have a lanyard clipped to the line to never lose the line, and I tried to come up, and the line was stuck on the bottom with my lanyard. And I remember going down again and I trying to swim again. But at this depth, like I say before, you can stretch a lot this part because you can break your lungs. And I say, okay, what I need to do? I'm stuck here. The platform is really far from here. And at this time, I remove the lanyard and I try to follow the line all the way up because you don't have any reference about the surface and about the bottom. If you look down, you think it's the bottom, but sometimes it can be the surface. All around you is blue or dark. And if you lose the line, you lose yourself. And I trying to come up at this time and to never forget the line in front of me. And at this point, I remember saying to myself, it's so sad, like, staying in the water like that is so sad. Like, I was just accepting the situation, but trying to push and trying to join the surface. But I was, like, kind of accepting gonna be really bad to me. At the end, I saw the safety around me at 30 meters, freediver safety, and I was feeling okay. And I crushed the surface. I did my protocol, and everybody was happy because it was a personal best to me. But they didn't know what was happening at the bottom. And to me, it was more like a big step. I took it like a propeller, not like an handicap. At the end, I spent 1 week without diving, 1 week crying all the night, because when you see the death close to you like that, at this age, I was really young in the beginning of my career. I just like realized how it was. How my sport was extreme.
Did you think you were dead?
I was thinking, yeah.
Slightly lighter note. How long can you hold your breath?
I can hold my breath 7 minutes in static without moving. But trust me, it's not so fun. Because 7 minutes, you are on a pool with your wetsuit and the surface is just here. And from...
It's like an inch away, right? Like, I would just be like,
so hard with 100 meters on my head. It's okay because I know the surface is really far, and I just need to focus on the present moment. But in the pool, I start to urge to breathe to 3 minutes, and from 7, you have to wait. It's a war. I have spasm. My body used to breathe, and the surface is just here. I want to just inhale just for a few seconds, but I can't. I did it 7 years ago. I never did it again. I don't like static free diving. It's too hard.
I was going to ask, is like, does your body have like almost a reflex where at some point it's just going to make you, well, I guess when you pass out.
You hold your breath. You have a few seconds, minutes, or you don't feel the urge to breathe. After that, you feel the urge to breathe. It's called the spasm. It's like a reflex of breathing. You can hold your breath on this point, and after that, you don't feel any urge to breathe. From few seconds, this point is really dangerous because you are far from your limit. And after that, you can do a blackout or something like that. And this is why I always say to the beginner or to the professional freediver to never dive alone. Because underwater, it can be in 1 meter in your pool. We have a lot of accidents in a pool on the summer. People, they are trying freediving alone. And it's really dangerous to do alone on water because when you do blackout, after 2 or 3 minutes, your body start to inhale naturally, to recover, to inhale, to just wake up. But if you wake up on the water, you breathe water.
That's a problem.
I think there are some freedivers, they are not afraid about their limit and they want to reach the limit. But I think to keep your mind happy, to keep the power and to try to have a long career, you have to protect your mind of this kind of extreme part.
So what's happening here?
When you dive like that without mask, it's completely dark now. I try to open my eyes, but I see nothing.
I see what you mean about like, well, you really can't tell which way is which. Like you can't, it gets hard to be like, are you going up or are you going down?
You don't know. You don't know. If you don't have line, you can disappear. And of course, it's something really afraid, but sometimes you feel really free on this kind of environment. Because now, we all the time, we are on noisy street, noisy environment. We are never alone on the earth. Even if we are going to the mountain or if we are going someplace we like, there is always people around you. I like this place down there because you really feel alone and you can more connect with yourself.
You seem so calm.
Yeah,
like
I think
it doesn't look like you're really trying too hard. Is that part of it or are you just...
You can be hard. Yeah, you can be hard, and I think it's more about commitment. Like when you go on this boat, when you go at this kind of depth, you have to be at 200% commitment. If you go, you go, and you don't need to hesitate. Of course, you can turn before the goal, but if you want to go do the goal, you have to engage yourself and your mind, your body, your life, everything. And to be calm, because if you are not calm, you have the fear coming and your hurts increase, your heartbeats increase.
Where in the hell are you?
It's a crazy place in Dim Blue Hole in Bahamas. Sand falling down a hole of 200 meters. It's really a natural hole. It's called the Dim Blue Hole in Bahamas in Long Island. And this is the best place for freediving because it's like a big pool. And this is the place I like to go for my world record. And it's warm water without current, nice food. This is all we need to have on freediving.
Last question. How far do you think you can go? Like, what do you think? Like, okay, this is my goal. I want to get to this place.
You know, I never have a goal. I think when I learned freediving, I saw a lot of freedivers reaching their goal, like it was 100 meters or something more or something less. And when they were reaching their goal, they just lose their power, they lose their passion because it was the end of the world. Me, I always continue on my way. My goal is really like enjoying myself with freediving. The day I don't enjoy freediving, I quit this sport. It's always like learning about myself, learning who I am in this extreme situation. And of course, the number is important for the workers, it's cool for the media, it's cool for the sport too, to increase the level, but it's not the finality of my goal. And I don't know, I really don't know where I can go in the next few years, but we will see. And of course, I think the depth is not the limit. The time you spend underwater, I think this is the limit, because we can spend 10 minutes at 100 meters. We will see. We will see where we can go in the next few years. But I hope we can go on the safety part, on the safe way.
That's all the questions I got. Is there anything else that we kind of missed, or what's coming up next for you? How can people get a hold of you, learn more?
I think my next goal is to try to increase my level in training in the winter. I'm training with Olympic swimmers. They are really crazy in training. They train every time, everywhere. I try to go deeper and deeper because I like that. And of course, to trying to communicate better, to open my profile in the US. And I'm really grateful about the opportunity you gave me today to talk about my sport on your community. Is really cool, and I try to learn about everything, and of course sharing my passion first.
I want to thank Arnaud so much for joining us. If you want to connect with him, we have linked to him on our social media sites. We're Profoundly Pointless on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and we've also included his information in the episode description. And if you want to see him do some of these dives, the YouTube version of this interview will be live on May 9th at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, now let's bring in John Shull and get to the pointless part of the show. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the highest, how brave would you say that you are?
Probably a 9. I don't seek out bravery, but if it's brought to me, I'll do it.
Oh, you're not looking for the challenge, but you will rise to it. That's how you look at yourself.
It's kind of been my life motto, you know, underestimated, but I always get the job done.
I could give myself either a 1 or like an 8, depending on how you look at it. Because I'll do some stuff, but I don't know if I would ever really do something that I thought I wouldn't be able to do. Like, if I'm going to take a risk, I'm usually pretty sure I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah, there are some things that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do. Sometimes that's the best. I mean, obviously, as you get older, the risk usually become less. But I mean, what I love doing is, say you're in a crowd of people and somebody is like, oh, who's going to jump in that lake that is 12 degrees? And everyone stands around and they're like, ooh, I'm going to do it. And then they never do. I just jump right in.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to do it. I would want someone else to do it, because then you're going to jump in, you're going to be freezing cold, and you're not going to have any dry clothes, and I'm going to be standing over there with dry clothes nice and warm. Pretty happy about that. But what would you say then? Do you think is it still a risk if you do something thinking with the understanding that you think that you can do it? Because I don't think that I would ever do something with no idea if I could do it or not.
I think a true risk is not knowing the outcome. I feel like if you already know that you can probably do it, that's already knowing the outcome. I feel like a risk is, you know, somebody telling you, yeah, there's a 50-50 chance that your parachute may open, but you're gonna take the dive?
Oh, well, no. I mean, would you do that? Would you go 50-50 odds?
If I was younger, maybe. And if there was a significant amount of money on the line. But no, not now. But once again, I was going to ask you before you brought that up, is there a difference between bravery and stupidity?
stupidity is doing something without understanding what the results are, without understanding the complications or the possibilities of what could happen if you do it. That's what I would say stupidity is. Bravery is knowing what they are and doing it anyway.
I go back to this group always, and it's the jackass guys. Are they brave or are they stupid?
I think they would probably be. I think you'd have to put them into, well, it depends if they knew what could happen, right? I don't think that you could say that they were stupid because they ended up basically making a lifelong career out of that. So I don't think that that would be stupid in those regards. It would be stupid if you were doing that, not filming it, and didn't have a TV show.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair to say. I can agree with you on that.
Right, man, you got to think of the consequences. But that's why I don't take huge risks, because all I do is think of all the different consequences of what could happen.
I don't think. Actually, in I don't think about it, and I don't want to. If someone's saying, hey, jump over this fire, and it's there, I'll try it. I've done it before. Didn't make it. Burned my legs, but here we are. It's a great story to tell.
What I would... The thing that I would say about it, like, I think it's pretty obvious which one of those is probably the better circumstance for preserving your own health and safety. The question is, what is better for life success? To be truly successful at something, to be brave or stupid? I think you have to have a little bit of stupidity in it. I think that, like, genius has to be a little crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been proven over the course of human history. Most people that we think are the bravest are the ones who are not the most sound-minded, we'll put it that way.
Okay. Oh, I polled the audience. Polled the audience. What do you think most people are on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think most people would say that they are?
Well, people that go to our YouTube page probably are going to be 6s or 7s.
Ooh. 1 to 3, 11%. I would honestly kind of put myself in that. I think if you really, really like analyzed it, I would put myself pretty low. 3 to 5, 38%, 6 to 8, 43%, and 9 to 10, 8%.
Okay. I mean, I actually thought there was going to be like 70%, nine or 10. So I'll take that. That seems like an honest answers.
Okay.
Was that it? Is it time for shout-outs?
Go for it.
All right.
Don't even look it up. Just shout out random people there.
Just random names.
Crazy man.
What if
just random names. Just make up 10 random names. Wow. No, give me 5 random names. Give me 5 actual shout-outs, and we'll see which ones are the which ones. And I won't look at you because I'll be able to tell if you're just like sitting there thinking. So give me 5 random names, and I'll just go thumbs up if it's a real person, thumbs down if you just made it up.
And I'm supposed to correct you after each name?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Ready? Here we go. Tony Seepley.
That's a real person.
Correct. Brian Anderson.
Oh, that's fake.
Wow. 2 for 2. Jay Bazan.
Real.
Correct. Jenny Catwick.
Oh, that's real.
That is real. Alberto Del Rio.
Fake.
Wow, you are good. What is that, 5 now? Alberto Rubio.
Fake.
Real. Gotcha.
Oh, man.
Denise James.
Real.
Fake.
Ah, I think then my you.
Gotcha.
I thought maybe you would throw it up, but I was watching you analyzing a pattern that I thought I figured out.
All right, number 8, Anthony Feeney.
That's real.
That is real. Fidel Romero.
That's got to be fake.
That is
somebody
real.
Actually named Fidel?
That's what they're saying in their on their Instagram page.
That's you don't hear a lot of Fidels. You don't hear a lot of people who have the name of a certain German person. You don't hear a lot of those. You don't hear a lot of people named after dictators, generally.
Fidel, a jack of all trades, who is a master of none, but better than a master of one. Don't know what that really means.
I think it's probably better to be really good at one thing. That would be my personal opinion. I would think that if you had a choice between being a jack of all trades or being really good at one thing, it's probably better to be really good at one thing.
I think you're correct on that. All right, last name, Josh Herkowitz.
Oh, that's probably real.
Fake.
That was fake?
That was fake.
My strategy was, if it was a simple last name, you were probably just... Because I couldn't come up with, like, crazy last names on the spot either. Like, I couldn't think of just some random last name that wasn't a famous person.
I think I did pretty well. I kept you off balance. That was the key. I just had to keep you off balance, and then I was able to get a couple by you.
Yeah, you sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky.
All right, well, I don't know how this is going to work out. It's kind of a childish game a little bit, but... we're going to flip it up again. Okay. It's that part of the show. So let's just play a simple game of Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
And you can just say no. You don't have to say, like, I have or never have I. But you can just say yes or no, then explain if you want to. So let's start here.
Okay.
Never have I ever ate something that was alive.
Well, I mean, everything that I've eaten was alive at some point.
No, I'm not talking about at some point. I'm talking about while you were consuming it.
No, I have no interest in that. I have absolutely no interest in that whatsoever.
Well, I have. I guess I'll give mine too. I have.
Go ahead. What did you eat? What did you eat?
Well, I've eaten crawfish live. I've also technically eaten... It's basically seafood. I've never eaten like a mammal or something alive. That seems gross to me, but I'll eat seafood. Which really doesn't make a lot of sense. There was actually one time where it's actually at a bachelor party, and we found some crawfish in the bottom of the pool at a place we were staying at. And one guy just bit the head off it, and then some of us followed. And then there was another time where we were using real jumbo shrimp to deep sea fish. And the guy that we were out with, the charter boat captain, said, you just have to bite off the tail while it's still alive. And did that as well. Don't know if that counts as eating, but I bit into it. You know, things like that. Nothing too crazy.
Okay. Does punane count? It's alive. I've eaten it. Does that count?
That's funny.
So I guess, yeah, I have.
That's funny.
I would never just eat crawdad fish off the bottom of the pool. Got to be one of the worst decisions I've ever heard of.
That's
I mean, you deserve, if I was a doctor and you came in like, oh doc, my stomach, what'd you do? I'd be like, you deserve that. I'm not even helping you.
Never have I ever skinny dipped.
Oh yeah, I've done that many times.
Me too, unfortunately. Never have I ever peed in a body.
Technically, you haven't skinny dipped.
That is true. I have never skinny dipped.
More like large rotund dip. Yeah. Large dip.
Husky dip. Husky.
Husky dip. There you go. Hey, man, I'm in the same boat.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to hear it from you. Never have I ever peed in a body of water.
Oh, all the time. I still pee in the pool. I have no problem peeing in the pool. As a grown adult with children, I will still pee in the pool, and I don't feel bad about it for one second. I don't care.
This is actually going much better than I thought. This is kind of entertaining. Never have I ever...
You won't pee in a pool? I will go to a gym that I go to and pee in that pool. I don't care. Everybody's fine. Right? Everybody's fine. There's thousands upon thousands of gallons of water in there. You're going to be all right. Pee's sterile anyway, so I don't feel bad about it.
I mean, I'm not against it. I've done it. I mean, as I've gotten older, I usually try to go before I get in the water, but I mean...
Well, yeah, I do that, but I'm not getting out.
I mean, it's kind of just a reaction, right? I think it's scientifically proven that when you hit the water, sometimes you just got to pee, so you just let it go.
It just makes you go, right? Right? It's sterile. Everybody's all right.
All right.
You're all right.
Never have I ever pretended to be somebody else to get sex.
Oh, no. You pretended to be somebody else?
not somebody else, but occupation. Yes. You know, I've been an astronaut.
Oh, well, who did you pretend?
I've been a car mechanic. I've been all kinds of things.
Oh, you mean like you're like you and the missus pretending to be somebody else? Or like were you just duping random women on the street? Like, I'm sorry, man, but if somebody, if you came up to me like I'm an astronaut, I'd be like, I don't think you are.
This was many years ago.
Oh, your internet gave out.
What is it? Nope, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand what's happening.
You live in Detroit. You live in Detroit. That's what it is. That's the problem. Gigantic, you live in Detroit.
Pile of shit. You hear me, Comcast? It's a gigantic pile of shit.
What happens, dude?
Ugh. All right. Moving on. You get mad. Never have I ever made a mistake.
Wait a minute. You didn't finish your thing. Are you doing this with random people or like you and the wife just bored on a trying to put some spark in the love life? Or are you just trying to dupe random people on the street?
It was definitely random dupes for sure. 100%.
Okay. All right. I'm sure everybody's done that.
Well, except
they probably lied to you and told you how big it was.
Well, it's alive, right? Never have I ever made a mistake and blamed it on my kid.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No, I have used my children as an excuse not to do things, but I've never blamed something on them.
Never? Not even a little bit?
No, I like my children.
Oh.
And I try to treat them with respect.
All right, well then, never have I ever farted and blamed it on somebody else.
Oh, yeah, but in a joking manner. Like, I don't have a sense of smell, so I don't really care that much about farts. And quite frankly, I think me not having a sense of smell gives me full right to fart in public whenever I want to.
I don't think that's correct, but sure.
I think I have immunity. I think that I should get immunity to fart in public as much as I want.
Why? Because you were born without the sense of smell? No.
Right. 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 I think I should get a free pass. They'd be like, who did this? Like, I did, but I don't have a sense of smell. Like, well, okay. You get a free pass. Mm. Right? Mm. Like, if you don't have very good vision and you accidentally wander into the street, nobody can really get mad at you.
Hmm.
It's like, you didn't see the car? Like, no, I didn't. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. But you're right. You're right. So I get a free pass. This is my new platform. People without senses of smell, like myself, the anosmia, whatever it is, get free passes to fart in public.
Next one here. Never have I ever rode a mechanical bull.
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a possibility, but I'm not entirely sure. I wasn't sober enough to fully remember if I did it. I don't think I have. It doesn't seem like... I don't generally like for people in public to be looking at me.
And I think you would know if you have, because I've done it, and it's something that I have never forgotten about. So,
was it fun, or did you get hurt?
It was fine. I just remember doing it to impress a group of people I was with, kind of like the old dare thing. I lasted maybe 7 seconds.
My thought about it is like, why should I ride a bull when I can just have sex with your mom?
You know not to. Why do you cross those lines? I'm telling you. Anyways.
That was good. There's times when you can make a mom joke, and that was one of them.
Listen, last one here. Never have I ever shit myself.
Oh, I have. Yeah. It's under 5 times, but I think everybody has. Have you?
Yeah. Probably 5 times in the last year. What?
Man, that's a lot. Are you talking like... Are you talking I'm sick and it more liquid variety, or have you like gone solid in there?
No, there's always been two ways. It's either when I get sick to that level, I can't control throwing up in my bowels. So I'm a surefire thing that I'm going to poo and throw up. And there have been times in the past where I've been a little too inebriated. But those were years ago. I mean, not in the last decade.
Man, I don't know if I've ever been drunk enough just to poop myself and be there. How do you, were you, did you wake up at least at your house or did you have some splaining to do?
About 50-50 ratio.
Wow. What do you do? What did you do? Did you just throw, I would be like, gotta go outside real quick. And then I would like find the dumpster outside and throw it away in the dumpster outside. Like somebody else's dumpster too.
I'm not proud of the story. I'll tell one 30-second story. Okay, one time okay. I did it, I was in college, and I had had way too much to drink, and I don't even know how I found my way back to my dorm room, but I remember my roommate was kind of a video gamer, and I literally fell onto my bed, and I remember that I was conscious, but I just started doing that, like defecating while I was in my bed. And I laid there. I woke up the next morning. And let's just put it this way. It causes rashes. And
oh, God. Oh, yeah.
The next week, my roommate, he filed like a complaint against me with our residence hall. Oh. And he moved out. So I got a whole room, and that happened like first month of my freshman year of college. So I got a whole year to myself in a dorm room. It was kind of fantastic, actually.
Yeah, that seems like a win-win. That seemed like a necessary evil. Like you had to do that. But wait a minute. Was that your first offense with this roommate, or did he just go straight to the, he went straight to the nuclear option?
Were you already
treading on thin ice?
Yeah, we just didn't click, you know, and as I've gotten older, you know, I'm sure it sucked for him. We had nothing in common, and it just wasn't going to work out. But anyways, hope he's doing well now. Steve Reed, if you're out there, I apologize.
God, Steve Reed one day, like, no matter what, like, so if somehow you become president of the United States, that guy will know, like, oh, yeah, I know him. He shit his pants freshman year of college, and I moved out. Like some, no matter how high up you are in the world of life, somebody has a story like that about you. Like listen, somebody could cut you down to nothing in a second.
Here's what I've come to gather as I've gotten older is that story, while grotesque and probably I shouldn't say out loud, if that's the worst thing in 20 years that somebody can come out and say about me, I'll take it. Because look at all these men and women who are politicians, actors, actresses, look how many terrible things come out about them as to them just not being good human beings.
That's a good point, right? Like, if that's the worst thing that somebody can say about you, then you've lived a pretty good life.
I mean,
like, well, you know, John, he pooped his pants when he was 19. Like,
oh, yeah, well, yeah. I'm 20 years removed from that now, so I change a lot, right?
Okay. Are you ready for our top five? What is our top five? I kind of forgot. So our top five is top five things we want to do but are afraid to do. What's your number five?
So I have a pretty hefty list here.
Narrowing it.
Would you emotionally?
Is it going to be an emotionally deep list?
No.
Okay.
I just have a lot of things that apparently I want to do but I seem afraid of doing. So my number five, I have Run with the Bulls.
Oh, okay. Why are you afraid to do that? I feel like that's not a crazy, crazy, crazy one. I wonder because, what the statistic is about how many people actually get hurt. Like, what percentage of it?
Because once again, I think I would be the idiot, and especially if somebody, one of my friends like you were there, John, there's one, run it down the street. And then, of course, I go trying to run, and it kicks me into the air and knocks me unconscious and then stomps my head to death.
Yeah, I mean, they're big. That's why I would only go run with the Bulls, like, if I knew who else was going. Like, I think I can outrun you, so I'll go with you.
Oh, man.
Like,
no,
yeah, John, I'll go with you, sure.
I swear to God, if we saw one coming and you just left me, I would try to trip you so fast. I would try to do something.
Oh, if it's just you or me, like, I got kids, man.
Bye. Fuck, I got kids.
Yeah, but they're not my kids.
I guess we're throwing that not parent into the mix, I guess.
Man, my number five is spicy food. I would like to try really, really spicy food, but I have no tolerance for spicy food. So I'd like to know what it's like, but I can't go beyond medium.
Well, I actually have one on my that's like that related on my honorable mention that I've actually done, but it sucks so bad that I'm afraid to do it, though I would do it again, and that's the one chip challenge.
Oh, is that like the ghost pepper chip or whatever it is?
Yeah, by Pecky or Pequi or whatever, the company. I've done it. Pocky? Is it? Maybe it's Pocky, yeah. But
Maybe Pocky makes Takis.
I have no idea.
Takis, but I believe.
I've done the one chip challenge, and it feels like you're eating sawdust that is on fire. And it doesn't hit you at first. It's like maybe 30 seconds in when you're like, this was a terrible mistake.
It's really that hot? I have no desire to do it.
It's absolutely that hot. And I know there's people online and stuff that eat 8 to 10 of them in a sitting. Like, good for them. Like, I can handle spicy food. And I swear I had heartburn for 3 weeks after eating the one I ate. It was not fun at all.
Yeah, that's not why. That's why I'm not going to ultimately do it. What's number four?
So it's kind of a twofer, but it's basically going deep scuba diving or like holding your breath underwater for a long period of time.
I mean, you can do that in your bathtub if you really want to. You can just go underwater in your bathtub and do it. It'd be perfectly safe. I feel like you could make that part happen. I don't want to go real deep underwater.
Yeah.
I don't want to be more than 10 feet away from sea level, whether that's up in the air or down below. I don't really want to be more than 10 feet away from sea level.
Maybe that's how I should just classify my number four, is like, I don't ever want to be deep underwater. Like, I think it would be great. It probably would be fantastic, but I'm scared to death of doing it. I remember going just snorkeling and getting pushed out by the current and like looking down at, oh, well, we're in 10 feet of water. Uh-oh, we're getting close to the buoy. Now I can't see the bottom. Like, that was scary stuff.
Yeah, don't mess with water, man. You don't get second chances with water. I don't think that I would ever, ever in my life, I don't care if it is a cave the size of, I don't care if I'm in the Pacific Ocean and it's a cave the size of the Atlantic Ocean, I would never, ever, ever go into a cave underwater. Would never do that.
I don't even know what that means. I would never go into anything underwater.
Nothing. I wouldn't go into a shipwreck. I wouldn't go into it like the Roman Colosseum, an arena. I wouldn't go in. I don't care how big it is. I'm not going into any underwater structure.
Yeah.
Submarine, but nothing. New. Nope. You read any books about submarines this year?
What's your number four?
Is that a yes or a no?
It is a no, actually. I have actually done a terrible job of reading this year. I've only read 2 books. And it's something that's actually kind of bothers me because I want to read more. I just don't know why I don't.
I found a book that I read twice in 1 week. The Murderbot Diaries. Sutra?
What?
No, that's more of a picture book. The Murderbot Diaries, All Systems Red. That was the best book I've read in a long time. It's great if you're into that kind of sci-fi stuff. It's a really good book. My number four is telling people off. I have a couple of family members and friends that need to be told off, and I feel it's coming, but I haven't worked up the courage yet to do it. Like, I need to set some things straight with some people in my life, but I haven't done it yet. It needs to be done.
That's a good one. I have that on my honorable mention because I'm usually pretty good. There's a couple people still that I really need to let have it that I haven't, and I don't know if I'm ever going to. So, yeah.
I don't have a problem doing it if the situation presents itself, but I don't know. I won't usually do it like just randomly. Like, the situation kind of needs to present itself for me to tell somebody off.
Kind of like recording this podcast with me.
Yeah, but it hasn't presented itself yet. Once it presents itself.
My number three is going sailing on the ocean or being on a boat. In the ocean?
You mean like any size boat or just like a little boat?
Like a little boat. Like, not a cruise ship, but like a, you know, on a sailboat going from New York to the UK or something like that. I would love to do that, but it sounds scary as hell.
Yeah, I wouldn't really want to do that either. Like I said, I don't really want to be anywhere where my feet aren't touching the ground. I don't really like being off the ground in any way.
But I think it'd be great. Like, I want to do it. I'm just afraid to try it.
We had a guest on this show that's circumnavigating the world. We should actually probably check in with him. I think he's probably about done.
That was probably 3 years ago by now.
I think it was a year. Well, it takes a year. It takes him a year and a half. It takes a long time. He's just sailing. 3 miles an hour is how fast he said he usually goes. My number three is just buzzing my hair. I would like to kind of shave my head to see what I looked like, but I don't have the courage or the confidence that it's going to grow back. So I'm not messing with it. But I would like to buzz my hair.
I have gone down to zeros before, and yeah, I mean, you look different, that's for sure.
Were you surprised? Were you oh, that's what I thought I was going to look like? Or did you go down to zero and be oh, that was a I think I actually remember it.
I wasn't impressed. Nobody else was. Somebody called me Uncle Fester, which wasn't a great compliment.
Yeah, I could see that.
But, other than that, it turned out fine. I mean, I am fortunate enough so far to have my hair grow back pretty quickly. So, I'm okay on that end for now, at least.
I would like to do it. I just don't have the courage to buzz my head. Maybe a one. I don't think I could go below a four. I don't have the courage. Go ahead.
My number two, downhill skiing.
Oh, you mean just skiing? You don't have the guts to go skiing?
No. Not like skiing, downhill skiing where you get going really fast and you got to turn, and it just seems like it's just an out of control chaos mess if you have no idea what you're doing, which would be me. And I don't feel like dying that way. So.
But have you gone regular skiing? You can work your way up, man. You don't have to jump right off the 10-meter board if you're going diving. You can kind of try to dive off the side first.
Nick, let me tell you something here. My center of gravity.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't the greatest. So I'm probably just going to start canning ball the faster I go, no matter how strong my legs were or how much balance I had. But in saying that, I'd love to try it. And once again, if you and I were on a ski hill and I'd had a couple of drinks and you're like, hey, try that one, I'd probably go. I don't know how far I'd get, but I'd probably try it.
I mean, you're not going to get seriously hurt. I started snowboarding this year. I've skied before, but I started snowboarding this year. And I crashed probably on the first time I did it. I crashed probably 50 to 75 times. Pretty sure I had a concussion. Actually crashed so hard I almost pooped myself. But now I love it. You just got to go out. It's fun, man. You don't really get, you get injured, but you don't get hurt. No, wait, it's the opposite. You get hurt, but you don't get injured. I mean, some people break their legs and twist their knees and have to have surgery, but.
Pretty sure Michael Schumacher has been in a coma for a decade because of a skiing accident. I'm sure Sonny Bono would still want to be around to tell you about how he didn't run into a tree trunk and die.
Wasn't there a Kennedy? There's been a lot of people that have died skiing.
Yeah, it's... wasn't Liam Neeson's wife, didn't she die in a skiing accident?
I thought she was taken.
What's your number two?
Hang gliding. Hang gliding or paramotoring or wingsuit flying. Any of those kind of things. I would like to go hang gliding. I just don't really want to be more than 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I'd try it, especially paragliding where you're behind a boat over water.
I don't feel like that counts. I feel like that's not the real thing. That's an amusement park ride to me.
Leave me alone. I'm starving here.
What is that? What's that from?
That's just a quote. Kind of goes with my number one, which is eating contests.
Oh, you'd like to sign up for an eating contest?
I would, but like I'm scared to death of multiple things. One, that I would gorge myself to where I just felt, I don't know, the worst I've ever felt. Two, I would love it so much that I would just keep doing it and gain another 100 pounds. You know, like
another yeah, 100 pounds.
You know, so, but yeah, I would love to do it. Like, I would love to like enter a real, like a hot dog eating contest, but like,
I'll just go for it.
Would it actually feel good to eat 20 to 30 hot dogs in 7 minutes? No.
No, I don't think that that would really be enjoyable. I don't really like the feeling of being very full.
Well, you.
I don't really enjoy it. It feels awful.
You have the same dinner every night, so you don't know what that's like.
First of all, I've been changing it up. I usually have chicken and fruit, but now recently I've been having sausage, pork Ooh. Sausage and fruit.
How does that sausage? Never mind. What's your number one?
Oh, I love a good hard sausage. Big old sausage in my mouth. I'll take the whole thing. I'll eat the whole package. Whole thing. I might even come back for more. Maybe even have a second sausage.
There's a guy on social media that eats hot dogs whole. And I'm like, how do you do that?
That's one of those talents that, like, I understand that may be your talent. But as a man, don't show that off. Unless that's your thing and you're looking to attract a certain audience. But, like, there is no point where I would ever show online, like, how much stuff I could fit in my mouth as a man. I would never do that. You would never see that happen. My number one is not really something that I don't know if it really counts as being afraid of it. Because I'm not afraid of it. It's just something that I would say I've never done. And that would be try my hardest at something. I don't think I've ever given more than 95% effort. I don't think that there's a single thing that I've ever been like, I tried as hard as I could. Not because I'm afraid to, because I'm just really not that interested.
I mean, maybe you should try it something.
I haven't found something that I would really like go all, like, I'm going to go all in.
Not even being a father?
Oh, well, yeah, of course at that.
Well, so you have.
What's in your honorable mention?
Oof, there's a hefty list here. Scuba diving, skydiving. Cave diving, bungee jumping.
Oh, no. Hard no for me.
And then I have doing a luge or skeleton run.
I think I would do that. I would do that. That seems like something, well, I don't know. You can get a little bit out of control and you're going to be in a lot of hurry. I think that's something that you've got to be like, no, you can't half-ass that. You got to either do it and do it right or not do it at all.
Yeah, you got to pony up or you're probably falling. Crashing?
I think I would like to climb a mountain. I don't know really how high of a mountain, but I also really don't want to camp outside. Like, look, and we built shelter for a reason. Why would I, like, I just couldn't imagine our ancient ancestors. Like, we're going camping. You got this house? Why would you go camping? Go in your house.
Yeah. So
that holds me back. I don't want to, I need a mountain that I can climb and be back by 5. Okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, leave us a quick review. We really appreciate it. It really does help out the show. And let us know what you think or what for you are some things that, man, I really want to do this, but I'm just haven't worked up the courage yet. And I think the optimum word there should be yet. Because you never know. And if you don't do it, that's kind of okay too.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.